The Fleischmann's Yeast Hour, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Valley.
Time is my time. Hi ho, everybody. This is Rudy Valley and Company. Our variety review this evening is composed of the following ingredients in approximately equal parts: politics, romance, insanity, propaganda, and song.
Did you say politics?
That's what I said. We have with us this evening John P. O'Brien, mayor of the city of New York, and one of the two other leading candidates for election to that office, Major Fiorello H. LaGuardia. We plan to stage a brief political rally with Hayward Broun as chairman.
You mentioned romance. True love, perhaps?
It will positively be supplied by Conrad Nagel and Margalo Gilmore in a scene from Berkeley Square.
Oh, very interesting indeed. And the insanity. Nothing violent, I hope.
Oh, no, nothing dangerous. Just Professor Jack McLellan and his nut-flavored accomplices, Sarah and Sassafras.
Yes, propaganda comes next, I believe.
The propaganda is Russian and vocal, furnished by a Russian male choir of eight voices.
Yeah, I can hardly wait. Now, how about song, bel canto, as it were?
Courtesy of Alice Faye and yours truly.
Splendid.
Say, who are you, anyway?
Me? Oh, I'm just the man who asked you all those questions. No harm done?
Not at all. I thank you.
No. I thank you, Mr. Valley.
Cook was never funnier, nor has he ever had a better collection of crazy gadgets than in his new review, Hold Your Horses. Rex Weber, who first introduced Brother Can You Spare a Dime, does a show-stopping job with this lovely ballad, If I Love Again. Someone new, if I love again, it will still be you, in someone else's fond embrace, I'll close my eyes and see your face, if I love again, I'll find other charms, but I'll make believe you are in my arms, and though my lips whisper I love you, my heart will not be true. I'll be loving you every time I love again. Other charms, but I'll make believe you are in my arms, and though my lips whisper I love you, my heart will not be true. I'll be loving you every time I love.
Oh, God.
authority vested in me as your official producer and introducer, may I present the Dean of Nuts University, Professor Jack McClellan, with a mad lady known as Sarah and the Sassafras, that strange boy.
Sarah?
Yeah?
All right. Sassafras, are you awake?
Oh,
Well, now, here we go on the stage, and the last one on is an old fool. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah?
Yeah?
All right. Say, look, I want to compliment you, Sarah. Every time we do a broadcast, it seems that you wear some new type of a gown.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of a gown would you call this?
Oh, this is a little tea dress.
What you call it?
A little tea dress.
A tea dress?
Yeah, a little tea gown.
How do you mean?
Oh, I wear these dresses to teas.
You do what?
I wear these dresses to teas.
To tease who? Oh, no, no, no.
No, no.
That's the, Friends, I'm starting off with some very good news tonight. You will probably see this in the papers tomorrow. Today, the Rolls-Royce automobile was reduced to 16,000. Sarah and Sassafras and myself, we're chipping in getting one of the hubcaps.
Yeah.
Say, Rudy, could we have a waltz to start?
Why, most assuredly.
Just to get going.
Waltz,
boy. Waltz. Pardon me, Rudy, is that a waltz?
Why, yes, absolutely.
It's a bit vulgar for a waltz. I mean, Sassafras, I don't wish to appear rude, but do you make a practice of chewing gum in public? Do you chew gum all the time?
No,
Do you? What particular flavor gum do you chew? What flavor gum do you chew?
Mahogany.
Mahogany. That's a new kind of gum. Where in the world do you get mahogany gum? Where do you get mahogany gum?
Under the piano.
Oh, under the piano. Well, then the flavor depends a little on the piano.
Yeah.
Do you smoke? Do you smoke?
I chew.
You what?
I chew.
Yes, you just told me that.
No, I chew tobacco.
Oh, you chew tobacco. That's a nice, clean habit. Do you have any complaints?
No, I don't suppose so.
What brand of tobacco do you chew?
Sliced horse.
Sliced horse. Well, that's a new kind of tobacco. Sliced horse. You said sliced. You wouldn't by any chance be thinking of cut plug.
Well,
that's what I thought. Sure.
Sassafras is a little daffy.
He's what?
Oh, Sassafras is daffy.
A little daffy?
Yeah.
He's really overdoing it, Sarah.
Yeah, I know. Say, Professor, would you like to hear some poetry?
Some recitations?
Oh, sure, I wrote it myself.
You wrote it yourself?
Oh, well, sure, I'm a poetess.
I beg your pardon?
I'm a poetess.
Now, there's a coincidence. I'm a moose.
Yeah?
Yes.
well, wait till I get this book unlocked.
You keep it locked?
Oh, I keep this locked.
Is that the kind of poetry? Oh, no, pardon me.
No. Are you ready?
I'm all ready.
All right.
This is the poetry?
Yeah?
Here we go.
All right. The moon tonight is not outshining nearly everywhere.
Pardon me, you started out wrong.
No, I didn't.
Well, how's it go?
The moon tonight is not outshining nearly everywhere.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Nearly everywhere tonight, the moon is not outshining.
Yeah.
Sort of a foggy night.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And lovers' hearts are sadly pining because they give a care.
Lovers' hearts are sadly pining because they give a care, and the moon tonight is not outshining nearly everywhere.
Yeah.
You wrote this yourself.
Yeah, I wrote it.
Well, I may be wrong.
Yes, yes. Clouds are thick and walking slowly.
The clouds are walking slow.
Oh, well, the clouds don't run.
They don't run?
No.
Well, I didn't know that.
No. Clouds are thick and walking slowly. Oh, our hearts are not so gay. Roast for cheese is not so holy. Oh,
hi! Don't worry about me. I'll be all right.
Yeah. You want to hear another one?
Huh?
You want to hear another one?
I'll hold still for another one.
Professor.
What is it?
Could I get a glass of water?
Glass of water? You stay right here and suffer with the professor.
Are you ready?
I'm all ready.
All right. Winter nights are in December.
Winter nights are in December?
Mm-hmm.
30 days has September, April, that's right.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Winter nights in December, summertime is in July.
That's during the hot weather.
Yes, yes.
I knew that.
Yeah. August comes in each September, that is when the leaves are dry.
Yeah, oh my goodness. My voice is changing.
Oh, yeah. To see the potatoes.
Whoa! Potatoes?
Yeah.
You mean potatoes.
Oh, no, potatoes.
Where does it say potatoes?
Well, right there in the book.
Yes, sir, they've changed it.
Yeah. I love to see the potatoes falling from the trees above.
Oh! Potatoes off of trees?
Yeah.
You've got that all mixed up. Potatoes grow on bushes.
Oh, bushes. Oh, on trees.
On trees?
Yeah.
Are you positive?
Oh, well, I know that.
I've got them mixed up with spinach.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
I love to see the potatoes falling from the trees above. And the little cute tomatoes, they're happy making love. Hey!
That is good.
Yeah, I knew you'd like it.
Tomatoes are happy. Hey, hey.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
That is good.
Yeah, I know. I know, but you'll die when you hear this one.
Yeah. I don't know why the other two didn't kill me. What's the matter now?
Hello. Oh, there's a phone call for you, Jack.
A phone call for the professor? Just a minute. People call you right up in the midst of a broadcast. Hello? Who is this speaking? Harry who? Harry Lauder? Well, for goodness sake, Harry, I read something in the paper about you being in town, yes. In about a half hour, we'll be finished, yes. I'd love to. We'll come right over as soon as we finish here. What? No, I can't do that, Harry. No, they have some sort of a rule here. It's, I haven't any, when you, Rudy, you can't do that here, Harry. No. No, I'd love to. I'm awfully sorry, Harry. No, goodbye. Goodbye.
Who was that?
That's Harry Lauder, the famous Scotch comedian.
Yeah, what did he want?
He wanted me to leave the receiver off so he could hear the show. I mean...
The stormy petrel of Hollywood, Constance Bennett, has as one of the stimulating musical scenes in the RKO picture, After Tonight, This Waltz, which I understand she sings very beautifully, by a kiss. Let's romance as we dance. Nothing will be lost. Find the thrill as you will. Never mind the cost. Hold me near, call me dear. We'll pretend till the end. Try a kiss, buy a kiss. Mrs. USA, we want you to meet two gentlemen from New York whose personalities and ideas in city government are worthy of the national interest they have aroused. His Honor, Mayor John P. O'Brien, and his honorable opponent, Major Fiorello H. LaGuardia. The big parade ends here. Enter carrying a red fire torch, the chairman of the rally, Heywood Broom. Give!
Thank you very much, but save that for the candidates. You see, I'm not running for anything. Not now. Fellow citizens, the chairman of tonight's political rally has a difficult assignment. It's my duty, as I see it, to be neutral in thought, word and deed, and even in the lifting of an eyebrow. and I never was much of a neutral. But tonight, two men who want to be mayor of New York will appear before you. Eight men in all are running for that office. It wasn't feasible to have as many speakers as that, and so it was decided to hear from the three candidates who seem to be the leaders in the race. Unfortunately, at a relatively late hour, other speaking engagements prevent Mr. Joseph V. McKee from appearing. The time of each speaker is limited. I think it's fair to have the same rule about the applause. This isn't exactly a convention. There's no point in trying to stampede the delegates by seeing which side can stage the longest demonstration. You can be just as fervent in 5 seconds as in 50. So let it be 5 seconds for your favorite before he speaks, and 5 seconds afterwards, if he still remains your favorite. You may want to be just as neutral as the chairman. Outside the studio, it's probable that not one of us is neutral. Some people have complained about this. I don't quite see why. I'd rather have candidates call each other hard names than have them going around calling each other Bill and Fred. My idea of a bad campaign is one in which even the candidates don't get excited. I might as well confess that I have a favorite myself. But my lips are sealed, and I hope that in this brief rally I won't convey by even a tiny inflection my personal preference. But my lips are sealed, and I hope that in this brief rally I won't convey by even a tiny inflection my personal preference. In order not to fall into error, I'm going to make each brief introduction precisely the same for both. We have as our first speaker a candidate who has worked hard for civic betterment and who, in the judgment of many, will be the next mayor of New York, the candidate of the Democratic Party, Mayor John P. O'Brien.
Mr. Broun, friends in Radioland, the electorate of the city of New York, I am seeking the approval of the voters of New York on my record of accomplishment since I was elected to office a year ago. Vexatious problems involving the very lives of nearly 1 million residents of the city, victims of unprecedented depression, and the financial security of the city were pressing for immediate solution. With the city deprived of hundreds of millions of dollars of tax payments to which it was entitled, but which property owners could not pay, we were faced with the absolute necessity of expending millions of dollars in excess of the ordinary demands to keep our people from hunger, cold, evictions, and nakedness. Due to our unceasing activity, efficient management, and great capacity in providing food and shelter for 750,000 of helpless men, women, and children, and relief work for our willing heads of families, no one has starved. All are clothed and fed in and in their homes. All these extraordinary demands have been met. The city's expenditures have been reduced this year by $114 million, and the work of the city's servants has gone forward without interruption, although we have reduced the number of permanent city employees by 8,000. By not filling vacancies that occurred due to deaths, retirements, and resignations. By a compact just clause with banking institutions, the city will be fully financed for the next 4 years, and there is no menace of payless paydays or default in any of the city's indebtedness. Under this compact, which was signed at 1 a.m. on October 31st, the last day of the 10th month of my administration of city affairs, they will solve not only the financial problem, but the problem of unemployment relief. So we'll have not only the support for all the necessities of administration from the bankers for 4 years, but they will also, for the year 1934, supply $70 million for unemployment relief. We have, in the same compact, we have entered into an agreement that solves to a degree, not completely, but to a large degree, the matter of economy. Because it is written in the contract, it's part of the compact, that the budgets for 1934, 5, 6, and 7 shall not exceed the budget level of 1933. We have just made the first loan under this compact. It was for $25 million at a 4% interest rate. That is 2% lower than the city had been able to borrow just before I became mayor. The city is not only to get all the money needed, but on terms that mean the savings of millions in interest. The financiers who have been studying the city financial problems as a matter of coal business did not suggest economies aside from wage and salary reductions, which it was conceded were unjustified. It was because of these findings and the insistence upon new revenues that the matter of balancing the budget, there was an increase made in water rates and taxicab charges were reluctantly imposed. Ladies and gentlemen, the time within 3 minutes here does not give me much opportunity to survey the details of the things done at the City Hall in the period of 10 months. These grave problems that caused anxious days and much worry and the haunting, harrowing fear that they might be on one side default in the city's payments and on the other collapse of our unemployment relief problem involving millions of persons. These two problems have definitely been settled. And so, with the other achievements of my administration crowded into 10 months, I'm coming before the electorate not indulging in personalities, abuse, attack, recriminations, innuendos, and all the rest, but rather, simply and solely, standing upon the record of my achievements, saying to the electorate, this is my record, and upon it I stand. Let me thank the Fleischmann Company, those who have charged this station here, my old friend Rudy Valley and all his men, for the reception tonight and their cooperation. I must on my way for many meetings in the Manhattan Bronx, and the final ones will be in Queens much after the midnight hour. I thank you all.
I didn't know that politicians could be so brief. And now, the same introduction, we have as our second speaker a candidate who has worked hard for civic betterment and who, in the judgment of many, will be the next mayor of New York, the candidate of the Fusion Party, Fiorello H. LaGuardia.
His Honor the Mayor, in referring to the financial program that he has entered into, failed to state that all of that money must be paid back by the taxpayers. I have a message of good cheer for all lovers of clean, honest, efficient municipal government. We have been carrying on in New York City not a political campaign, but a fighting crusade of an aroused electorate to smash a vicious, corrupt political ring. We will demonstrate once more that when the voters realize the significance of the eternal issue of good government, they will take back control into their own hands. It is one of the peculiar anomalies of our national life that while we have had many effective administrations of our national affairs and generally of our state government, municipal government has been our conspicuous and outstanding failure. I believe the American people want to be proud of New York. They glory in its material achievements, in its great buildings, its bridges and tunnels, its subways, its museums, its cultural institutions. But they have not always had reason to be proud of some of the other manifestations of its municipal life. In our local government and local politics, we have permitted a condition to exist which the rest of the country could not and did not respect, and which they justly believe to be unworthy of a great American city. It is now evident that the voters are about to entrust the duty of governing the city to a new group, representative not of a political machine, but of civic associations, independent members of all parties, rent payers and taxpayers organizations, and generally the disinterested nonpartisan elements in our municipal life. As the realization of this approaching victory for good government has come upon me, I have been moved by a sense of the grave responsibility which will be mine during the next 4 years. With all my heart and soul and strength, I shall strive to raise a standard of enlightenment, progressive, and efficient municipal government in New York City. In the success of this effort, good citizens throughout the nation will find encouragement and inspiration. I shall not rest until my native city is a leader in wholesome housing, in public health, in all the humanities and decencies of life. Its courts must be clean. Racketeering must be exterminated. Its charitable relief must be humane. Its correctional procedure must be enlightened. Efficiency and economy must control. Boss rule must become a thing of the past. What an opportunity lies before us. It is my determination, with the aid of my associates on the Fusion ticket, to present to New York City, to the people of this nation, in the next 4 years, as we wish the American people to see and know us as a city with an administration that serves no political master, but only the people. We shall present to the nation a decent, clean, efficient, and humane municipal government in which not only New York City, but the whole country shall take pride.
Surrounded by the Yankees at their hottest, Alice Faye does full justice to the old adage in song style, "You're going to lose your gal."
Don't know who's your gal. Acting like a two-time lover, keeping kisses undercover. You wake up and soon discover you're gonna lose your gal. You're gonna fret away. You're bound to get that way. How can you be so conceited? Take the heart and then mistreat it. You can't have your cake and eat it. You're gonna lose your gal, and when she's gone, she won't come back. They don't come back, won't come back once they're gone. You're gonna be surprised, you never realize. Someone else can treat her nicer, someone else can choose and rise her, someone else will paradise her. You're gonna lose your gal, you're gonna lose your gal. You don't know who's your gal. Oh, you're acting like a two-time lover, keeping kisses undercover. You wake up and soon discover you're gonna lose your gal, you're gonna fret away. You're bound to get that way. Now, how can you be so conceited? Take a hop and then mistreat it. You can't have your cake and eat it. You're gonna lose your gal. You're gonna be surprised. You never realize someone else can treat her nicer. Someone else can treat her nicer. Someone else will paradise her. You're gonna lose your gal.
You are occupying seat one, row A, on the aisle at the Fleischmann's East Hour, directed by Rudy Vallee, who presents Mayor John O'Brien, Fiorella LaGuardia, Conrad Nagel, Margalo Gilmore, Jack McClellan, and the eight singing Siberians.
Now that this country is on the verge of recognizing Russia, it is the patriotic duty of every citizen to learn all he can about that large, chilly land. Always alert to perform a public service, this program has imported for your information and entertainment eight genuine, guaranteed singing Siberians. Count 'em, eight. Found in an abandoned samovar on the road from Omsk to Tomsk, these handsome fellows were rushed by plane, train, and steamship to your very door. Here they are, the eight singing Siberians. The strange native music you are about to hear will be explained by the leader of the choir, Mr.
Blagoveshchensky. Blagoveshchensky.
What is that again, please?
Blagoveshchensky.
That's all right with me. Can you give us the name of the first song?
Yes. Stot, 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 stot.
Yes,
sure, okay. Stot, 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 stot.
What does that mean in English?
In English, it means, who is afraid from the big bad wolf?
Oh, I see. A Russian version. Okay.
Okay, sure. First, we hear the bells.
We hear what?
Bells, bells. Bing, boom, bang, bells.
Oh, bells. You mean bells.
Okay, yes, sure.
So you use real bells?
No. Oh, mister. Basses and double basses make bells. Like this. Give me, please, C sharp minor chord. Yak Nikolaich.
Boom.
You see, Mr. Valley, I use one bing, one boom, and two big bombs.
I think we will omit the bells.
Okay, by me. Boys, from Stot, 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 cut out the bell. No, come and sing. We all think American opera.
An American opera? What is it about?
Depression. Yes, we have no. I, the words, myself wrote it.
That's fine, but how about the music?
By me again, also. I wrote it.
This ought to be good.
But why did you decide to write an American opera?
Oh, to make it joyful the American people.
Then by all means, let's have it.
Yes, we have no depression. No depression. Yes, no, 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 no.
Yes,
no, 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 no.
Yes, 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 yes.
No, 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 no.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, no, yes, yes. Yes, we have.
No, 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 no.
Yes, we have.
No, 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 no.
Yes. We have none of, no, 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 no.
Yes, we have none of,
no, 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 no. Yes, we have, no, 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 no. Yes, we have, no, 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 no. Yes, no, yes, no.
Depression, depression.
Oh, no, no, we
have. Depression, depression, depression.
Vulgan popularity of Lazy Bones, publishers have been looking for another. This is a rather comparative sequel to Lazy Bones, but I doubt that it will attain the popularity of the former. They call this one Pudd'nhead Jones.
Began to understand, he learned everything she ever knew. All of the kids to teacher carried candy and ice cream cones. But who do you think the teacher married? Pudd'nhead Jones.
Thank you.
number most requested during our dance sessions at the Hollywood restaurant, which proves its popularity probably due to Bing's fine vocal on it, The Day You Came Along from Too Much Harmony.
The day you came along, forgot my weeping. The day you came along, before I knew it, I hummed a little song. The day you came along, I only drifted before you came along. The fog was lifted because you came along. I sent the blackbirds right back where they belong. The day you came along, men have conquered nations, other men have set them free. Pioneers have crossed the sea. You can turn the pages through the ages, but to me, 'twas the most eventful day in history. Two souls were mated the day you came along. A world created the day you came along. One glance convinced me I knew I wasn't wrong. The day you came along.
We present now Mr. Conrad Nagel, stage and screen star in a scene from Berkeley Square, with Miss Margalo Gilmore of the original stage cast. As those of you who have seen the motion picture will remember, Berkeley Square is probably the strangest love story ever written. So fantastic, so strange, in fact, that we find it difficult to give you an adequate introduction to the scene we are about to present.
Well, perhaps I could be of service there, Mr. Valley.
Why, yes, Mr. Nagel, I'm sure you could, supposing you tell us about the play.
Well, you see, it's about Peter Standish, a wealthy young American of our day who comes from New York to live in the home of his ancestors at Berkeley Square in London. And so, Peter Standish, who came to Berkeley Square in the year of our Lord, 1933, took the place of that other Peter Standish who came to Berkeley Square in 1784. At first he played his part well. Then the people about him noticed strange things. He could and did, without knowing it, foretell the future. They became frightened of him, all except Kate's younger sister, Helen, who understood him. And although he knew it had never happened, couldn't happen, the 20th century Peter fell in love with the 18th century Helen. We see him now alone in that 18th century room. Kate, in terror of him, has just broken their engagement. Outside, a thunderstorm is brewing.
Peter.
Helen, you know?
We all know. Kate's not herself tonight. You mustn't think hardly of her cousin.
No, it isn't Kate's fault.
That's generous of you, Peter. I want you to tell me what all this mystery means, so that I can go to Kate.
No, I can't. Then you'd be afraid of me, too.
That's not true.
Oh, if I could only believe that.
How can you speak of things that haven't happened yet, as though they had happened? How can you know things you couldn't know? So many things. Tell me.
Helen, the borderline between what's just happened and what's just going to happen is shadowy for me. Things of tomorrow often seem as real as things of yesterday. And so, in fact, they are.
Then it's true. You do see ahead.
Yes, Helen. You believe when it's incredible, against nature.
Can you see ahead just a day or two, or months? In years.
Many months. many years.
I love life so. I want to see ahead because I love it so.
So you're in love with the future, as I was in love with the past. It's better just to dream about what's ahead, Helen. To dream your dreams than really to know.
But, Peter, I want to make Kate understand about these powers of yours. I want to make her see how proud and happy she should be, instead of afraid.
She'd only be still more afraid. It wouldn't be any use. But I can tell you about things that are going to happen, just for yourself, if you really want so much to know.
Oh, yes, Peter, please. Things you've seen.
Things I've seen. Where shall I begin? Helen, you see those candles there? Well, long after us, this room, Berkeley Square, all London outside will be lit by one movement of a man's hand.
By magic. But what will it be like, Peter?
You wouldn't understand. There aren't words to make you understand.
No words. There aren't any words. Because these things come to your mind in visions, Peter. And I think I could see them too, through your eyes. Will you let me try?
But that isn't possible.
Let me look.
Helen. Helen, your eyes, they burn into mine.
Peter, I see in your eyes this room. It blazes with your magic light, Peter. There's your portrait on the wall, finished. You said it would be.
The veil is thin for you.
I see a man and a girl. They're dressed so clearly. The man turns to her. He kisses her. I can't see his face. But he's like you, Peter.
No, no.
Yes, show me. I will see.
No, no, not that. The wonders of the future, then. Now look.
Sunshine. White clouds. Three great birds.
No, no, you mustn't look again. You'd see other pictures now. Things you mustn't see.
I will see.
You can't bear it.
Monsters. No. Men with masks over their faces. The yellow mist around them. They fall, they twist in the mud.
If you want a sight.
Light, dancing, flashing everywhere. But this is the most beautiful of all.
The fireworks of hell.
A great flame opens like a flower. A
dump of shells that blew a score of men to pieces.
Curving streams of fire.
Liquid flame pumped out of hoses to shrivel men up like insects.
Oh,
oh. Oh, we should have stopped with your fairy city.
Devils, demons, not men. It is not true. God would never have put us here to suffer.
Dear Helen, what were we doing?
The mystery behind your eyes.
You saw the future there.
But there was something else, more wonderful than that. And now I must go to Kate and tell her that I have shared your vision and why it is that people are afraid of you.
Helen, you think she threw me over tonight just because she was afraid of me? It's more hopeless than that. She's found out that I don't love her.
But you want to marry her.
Don't let's talk about that. I had to play another's part. I had to go on with it. That was all.
Then you don't love Kate any more than she loves you. And it isn't about Kate that you're unhappy, but because you feel lost and strange, and because people are afraid of you.
Yes. Yes, and as everything is closed in around me, your sympathy has kept me from going mad.
You make me very happy.
You know how I feel. You must know. But try to believe, even though you can never understand why, that the beauty that's with us and about us now, though it's more lovely than all the real things that ever were, isn't real, Helen. It's only a mirage. It's like a vision of heaven. It couldn't exist in this world at all, or in any real world. It's unnatural, not real, Helen. You must forget it all and forget me, for your own dear sake.
You know I can't do that, Peter.
Oh, God, what have I done?
Peter, you know the future. Tell me ours.
Our future? No, I don't know that. Ah, Helen, try to understand. I come to you from somewhere else. Another world.
I know. It's all so different here.
But I'm not one of you.
I've always felt that, Peter. Peter, It's something you've done that's like a wild beast in your mind. What price have you paid for the splendor about you? You've not sold your soul.
No, no, my soul's not damned. Not what you mean by damned. I love you. Oh, God, help us both. I love you.
I loved you long before I ever saw you. In my first dream of you, coming with a candle from somewhere far away to meet me.
Oh, but Helen, I'm not playing his part now. I'm myself. You see, I'm myself. And I'm muddling everything up. This isn't possible. This isn't my world or yours. It isn't my life or yours.
Then take me away with you, Peter.
I can't. I can't.
Then don't leave me.
I won't. Oh, Helen, when I kissed Kate, that was his kiss to his betrothed. But there's never been a kiss like ours since the world began.
There is bliss in a kiss given tenderly. Let's be gay, let us play till the night is gone. No regrets we'll forget when we part at dawn. Let's romance as we dance, nothing will be lost. Find the thrill as you will, never mind the cost. Hold me near, call me dear, we'll pretend till the end. Try a kiss tonight.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.